Hello, FCS Nation. It's time for your show. I'm your host, Kevin Marshall. I'm once again coming to you from the lovely and beautiful low country of South Carolina, the city of Charleston. Join me like he does each week as the co-host of this program, the quarterback of this program, Mr. Stone Labanowitz. Stone is coming to you from his broadcast center in the Sunshine State of Florida. Stone, a lot of things happened last week. Had some close games that we expected, had a couple of blowouts, and we had one whale of a game in Cullowhee, North Carolina, sir.
How about we just scrap the entire show and talk about this Mercer-Western Carolina game? A game that I put everything to the side for to watch, and it not only paid off, but, you know, filled the slot that we had given it forefront, this being the game of the year. This was one of the funnest football games, one of the most high-level football games offensively, not only of the weekend, but I think of the season, FCS, FBS included. And there are sweaters with North Dakota State at the one spot. That's 2 weeks now. We're going to talk about the margin of victory through 2 weeks with North Dakota State being 13 points. I mean, there are things that we took away from this week that we haven't, I feel like, in a month plus. Which is big. The storylines are starting to cement themselves and playoff spots are starting to get slimmed down a bit. So things are popping off right now.
Well, you mentioned those buys, and number one, North Dakota State, 15. Number nine, North Dakota, 10. This ball game is a game that you have to feel like North Dakota let get away, Stone. They led this thing for 57 minutes, but it was the first 57 minutes and not the last three.
Walked it in with 2.5 to go, so less than 3 minutes here. Of course, it was number nine, right? And whenever this guy has the ball in his hands, good things happen. This had a feel, you hinted at it more so than I, that this was going to be a mucked up defensive battle, and kind of whoever held the ball last, whoever made, you know, least mistakes, as cliche as that is, wins this game. Well, it actually played out like that. And when you saw that ball leave Kaminsky's hand and almost connect, I mean, that was your one moment. That was the one you had in the chamber. It seems like one or two teams a year have one in the chamber for these guys, but they're an inevitable force. They're unblemished. They're the number one team in the country. I just am remiss that we would have had a new number one team in the country. I wanted that to be the case heading into week 12. We didn't get that, but at the same time, not very surprised.
North Dakota State had 268 total yards to 286 for North Dakota, so North Dakota outgained them. North Dakota outgained them in the air, 170 to 125, and the rushing yards are relatively close with 143. Three for the Bison and 116 for the Fighting Hawks. One takeaway from this for me is that it wasn't a particularly clean played game by the Bison. 11 penalties for 98 yards. I'm sure they talked about that this week in meetings. Number two, Montana 29, Eastern Washington 24. We almost had a brand new number two team as well, because Montana ran out in this thing. You thought they were going to run away and hide, but Eastern Washington came right back, and barring just the strangest play that you'll ever see at the end of a game, Eastern Washington could have gotten out of Missoula with a victory. The quarterback played outstanding for the Eagles.
No, he played about as good as he could have, and you're right, and I even think odds makers, right, when Montana started the way that they did, almost taking the odds off of the board, but very similar. Dare, if I may, talk about teams having one in the chamber throughout a season to knock one of the big dogs off. This was also Eastern Washington. We talked about how close these two like to play each other. This didn't seem like the year on paper that that would be the case, but boy, were we both wrong in this one. But this is a good win, a win by any means necessary, a win by 5 points, an ugly one. Those count too, so you notch it, you move on, and you won't see Eastern Washington again for another 365, which is a bonus for everybody wearing that Grizzlies uniform.
Jake Schakel threw for 451 yards for the Eagles. Friend of our show, Kyler Neal, probably the number one Eastern Washington fan in the world, was saying on X that, man, it was good to see an Eastern Washington quarterback back up there in the top one or two or three in passing yards after a week of play. And Jake Schakel looks to be the next hot, red hot, inferno-like quarterback for the Eastern Washington Eagles. He's a name to learn and to keep an eye on as things move forward. Number three, Montana State 66, Weber State 14. Montana State just, I mean, there's no other way to say it. They bloused Weber State's boots, and it was the straw that broke the camel's back on the Mickey Mantle era at Weber State. He was relieved of his duties this week as the Wildcats head coach.
One of the things that I think we threw a dart here on is defensively what Montana State's been able to do. Brent Vegan talks about this offense and this game skit kind of being methodical. This team's held teams to 14 or fewer points 5+ times this year, just under 21 points every single game of the season. I think this team, more than any other team in the country right now, Montana and also North Dakota State permitted, is the better defensively of the bunch. And they put it on display here to the Weber State team. You're talking about 80 combined points and 66 of them being on your side. That's a damn good Saturday, Kev.
Number four, Tennessee Tech, 21. Eastern Illinois, 9. The offense has kind of slowed down a little bit lately for the Golden Eagles, Stone. And it has me questioning a little bit if something might be wrong with that group. If they're beat up a little bit, if maybe people have figured them out some. But they're still playing good football and they're still winning. So that's why they've continued to rise in the poll. New Hampshire, 34. Number 6, Monmouth, 13. Not having perhaps the best quarterback in FCS, finally caught up to Monmouth. I'm looking at this New Hampshire team with new life right now, Stone. And I'm interested to see how they close the season. They could be a sneak into the playoffs if they close strong. Number 6, Lehigh, 38. Holy Cross, 3. This is just another in a series of Lehigh beating people to sleep and doing it running the football. It's an impressive football team that Lehigh's put together.
Yeah, run me my cheddar, Lehigh, trying to cover 4 touchdown spreads in back-to-back weeks. I keep laying them down, and these guys keep doing it because of the ground game. They score a lot of points, and they like to run the ball. They're a run-first team. What this team's doing is kind of just flexing their muscle. You're talking about a Lehigh team now that is bona fide top 5. I don't think we can dispute it. I think what they're bringing into the playoffs, you talk about all the Missouri Valley all we want, all the Big Sky all we want. They got the offense to do it. And what I mean by offense is that big on big, leaning on you. They want to go 4 quarters. I like this Lehigh team more and more. They've kind of, I don't know, made us eat a little bit of crow up until this point, because this team can really play some ball.
Number 7, Mercer, 49. Number 14, Western Carolina, 47. Stone, how does your quarterback throw over 500 yards and 7 touchdowns and you lose?
I don't know the answer to that question, and it doesn't even seem like a real question.
It happened.
What Teron Dickens does on a football field, and I had said this before the game, and I also said it in the preview segment last week, and probably a little bit in the pick segment when I had to pick a side on this one. Came out on the right side with Mercer, but Teron Dickens playing from behind is a better Teron Dickens than playing with a lead. And I think that is a characteristic that you want in your quarterback, because he can always be trusted. There was something that you said that stuck with me, even watching the game last weekend, Kevin. You said there is a defensive unit of the two that is going to make one more play, and that was the case for Mercer. That gave them the ball for them to go 49 yards down the field and end up chipping that thing through the uprights here. It was one play in a game where we saw pretty much 100 points. One play was the difference, and Mercer made the most of it.
Number 22, South Dakota, 24. Number 10, South Dakota State, 17. The Jackrabbits running out of quarterbacks. Nathan Swaffer, our fine writer on FCSNationRadio.com, who covers the Missouri Valley for us, that was what he said when it was announced that not just the first team quarterback, Chase Mason, was going to be out for this ball game for the Jackrabbits, but also the number 2 quarterback, Luke Marble, was going to be out as well. And this young man who came in as the number 3 quarterback, Stone, there's 50 FCS teams he'd start for right now. And he was buried on that depth chart. So Jack's fans need to just take a little bit and go, man, we got dudes. We got 3 guys in the quarterback room who would start for any other FCS team, just about. And they almost won this ball game with a third team quarterback. But Steady Eddie on the other side, Aiden Bauman, led his boys to the win they absolutely had to have.
Yeah, I get it. You don't have your quarterback. I thought the game script would kind of go the way that it did. And obviously, when we all saw the announcement, we knew that this was South Dakota's game to lose. But sometimes you got to bully the bully. I mean, we saw Phillips go to absolute work. It's now his 7th 100-yard rushing game, his 5th multi-TD game this season. He had a 170 on the ground. They almost gave it to him 30 times. So whatever the case is, whatever the game provides on a week-to-week basis, you can't prepare for certain things. But they did what they do best, and that's tote the pill. I think Aiden completed 8 passes. They didn't need him. And as a quarterback, that's a dream to just hand it to your horse and let him go to work. So sometimes you got to bully the bully, and they did that. This is a huge win for them. They're 5-2 in the Valley. It's kind of an underrated stat.
The replay segment is brought to you by GameStrat.
Looking to gain a real edge on game day? GameStrat is the number one choice for in-game video in the FCS and is trusted by championship programs at every level. With instant access to in-game video, lightning-fast uploads, and no internet required, GameStrat helps coaches make real-time adjustments that win football games. It's easy to use, ultra-reliable, and backed by top-rated support. Don't settle for less. Upgrade to GameStrat and keep up with what the top programs in the country are choosing for their in-game video. Visit GameStrat.com to learn more and schedule your demo today. That's GameStrat.com.
And we're back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Well, Stone, let's put a bow on last week and reveal this week's FCS Nation Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. The FCS Nation National Offensive Player of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual, is Youngstown State quarterback Bo Brungard. Last week versus Southern Illinois, young man was 28 of 35 for 345 yards and four touchdowns, and carried the ball 15 times for 104 yards and added two touchdowns on the ground. The FCS Nation National Defensive Player of the Week is Donovan Woolen, linebacker, North Dakota State. Last week versus North Dakota, 17 tackles, 8 solo tackles, and a half tackle for a loss. That's the most tackles by an NDSU Bison player in the past 5 seasons. Congratulations to Bo Brungard, quarterback, Youngstown State, and Donovan Woolen, linebacker, North Dakota State, for being named the FCS Nation National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, respectively, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. I now hold in my hand the fresh this week's FCS Nation Top 25 for Week 11. Number 1, the North Dakota State Bison. Number 2, the Montana Grizzlies. Number 3, the Montana State Bobcats. Number 4, the Tennessee Tech Golden Eagles. And rounding out the top 5, the Lehigh Mountain Hawks.
Kevin, Montana at 2, you can't really find that in some other places, which I know you and I find odd, but kind of tell the people why that is, that they sit in front of the Bobcats and not behind them.
Well, Montana's 10-0, and having the Grizz number 2 and the Bobcats number 3, they're going to settle that on the field in a couple of weeks. So at this point, what does that even really matter? Number 6 is Harvard. Number 7, fresh off a huge win last weekend, the Mercer Bears. Number 8, Tarleton State. Staying steady at number 9, North Dakota. And rounding out the top 10, the UC Davis Aggies.
Love to see Mercer surging here. It feels like they're an FOS, a friend of the show here. But I think the storyline for FCS Nation is UND. Stop dropping and not moving a single inch from that number 9 spot. Kevin, why?
Because they stood toe-to-toe with NDSU last week, Stone. And if the quarterback puts a little bit more air under that football and their receiver is able to make a catch, we would be talking about a brand new number 1 team in the country this week. And this is after a lot of ink was spilled by writers, a lot of breaths were given that North Dakota State has really just separated themselves this season from the rest of the subdivision. They're in the stratosphere. Well, that may have been true a month ago, but they won their last 2 ball games by a combined 13 points. So the death of everybody else in the subdivision and nobody being able to be competitive with North Dakota State is greatly exaggerated. Number 11 is Monmouth. Number 12 is Villanova. Number 13, Youngstown State. Number 14, Illinois State. And rounding out the top 15, South Dakota.
Welcome back to the dance floor, Yotes. Kevin, what are we crediting this rise, not only back into the rankings, but the top 15 when it comes to South Dakota?
This is a team that is resilient, Stone. They were dead in the water a month ago. Like, people were writing articles, the Yotes season is over with. They got nothing left to play for. And what did they do? They tuned that all out, and they started winning football games, and they put themselves right back in a great spot to make the playoffs and maybe have a pretty easy path to make a nice run in these national playoffs. A month ago, I would have said there's something wrong with you if you'd have said that, but it's certainly true now. Falling to number 16, South Dakota State. Falling a few spots to number 17, the Western Carolina Catamounts. Number 18, Abilene Christian. Number 19, Stephen F. Austin. And rounding out the top 20, Rhode Island.
What should be, not what is, but what should be the level of panic for Jackrabbit fans, Kevin?
Relax. You're going to get some guys back healthy. You seriously need to win one of the next 2 ball games to get in the field. And then you're going to start to get reinforcements. You're going to have some guys get back on the playing field who were difference makers, guys who led you to a 7-0 start. And it's not going to be as easy as it has been in the playoffs, if you can get there, as it has been in recent years. But just get in the dance, baby. And if you can dance, that's all you can ask for, considering the last 3 weeks and how they've gone for South Dakota State. Number 21, Lamar. Number 22, the Southern Illinois Salukis. Number 23, Jackson State. Number 24 is Alabama State. Number 25 is Southeastern Louisiana. Stone, we are the only media group that has 2 SWAC teams ranked in the top 25. But Stone, falling to number 22 is a team that's near and dear to your heart. The Salukis, much was praised much was talked about. They're in a position now where you got to win to get in the playoffs. Very strange doings in Carbondale.
Very strange doings, sure. And I don't even know if winning guarantees you getting into the field at this point, Kevin. You give up a million points. We shouted out Bo Brungardt at the beginning of this thing, but Youngstown State, the Penguins, drop a 50 ball on you at your place. It doesn't bode well, and it seems like they've been slipping and sliding all the way down. Hot star DJ Williams cannot do it himself.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
Thanks for sticking with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. It's now time for the preview segment. This is where Stone Labanowitz and I take a quick trip all over FCS Nation, and we preview the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. Up first, Northern Iowa is at number one, North Dakota State. Stone, there was a time when this would be a huge game in the Valley. Northern Iowa would be just rounding into their playoff form. I think this week, it might be one of those things that I say during the pick segment. Not much to see here, but Northern Iowa is fighting. They haven't given up on the season, and I believe that they'll do a few things to make the Bison uncomfortable, but I don't believe it'll last for all that long.
You, yes, Kevin, will be saying not much to see here, and I will be copying and pasting that on over. That's what this looks like on paper, at least.
Number two, Montana is at Portland State. Portland State, Stone, is an enigma every year. They recruit very well. They seem to have highly rated recruiting classes. But then they get into just the buzzsaw that is the Big Sky Conference schedule, and you say, you know, Portland State could be pretty good, but who are they going to beat? It's probably not going to be Montana at home this week.
No, it's not, especially a Montana team. And I'm getting a wake-up call last week as a coach. That's something you dream of happening in November. Portland State won't be taking lightly under the theme of finish this season out strong that Bobby Hack will be preaching.
Number 10, UC Davis is at number 3, Montana State. Game of the week stuff right here. The injuries are beginning to pile up for UC Davis. Montana State's pretty healthy and their defense is underrated.
UC Davis has kind of left everybody's thought process. It's not a team that is front of mind. You want to get back to front of mind? You beat a Montana State team. That's what you do. Oh, yeah, in Bozeman, right? Tall task. But Caden Pinnick, he's got the tools. This UC Davis team, when healthy, is explosive. This is a team that can do damage to a Montana State defense that seems to be unbreakable right now. But if there's a squad that can do it inside that conference, it's either obviously the Grizz or it's the Aggies. We'll see.
Number 4, Tennessee Tech is at Kentucky of the FBS. I don't know how to read this one. I don't know what Tennessee Tech is looking for in this ballgame, and that is going to really dictate what they're going to get out of it. Do you throw everything into this thing and try to beat SEC Kentucky, who isn't all that great, right? Or do you use this and say, this is why we're here. We're here to compete, but we're also here to get a nice big old check, and we want to compete for the national championship. So let's just keep this thing moving, play this game with some alacrity, and get out of there. I don't know what Bobby Wilder's thoughts are for this thing, but don't be surprised if Tennessee Tech doesn't pull out all the stops, run every play they got to try to snag an FBS scalp. They've got a puncher's chance here, Stone.
Yeah, I mean, there are two schools of thought. One, you throw the kitchen sink and you have nothing to lose. You're getting paid for this thing. Or two, kind of keep everything close to the vest and try to keep your guys healthy and make this a business game. A business wink, wink, as this there is a lot of money involved here. But you take that money, you feed your guys well because they're in the midst of a deep playoff run. This is the best start that this program has seen in quite some time here. And this is a Kentucky team that is coming off of a dismantling of literally the Florida Gators. So not a really good scheduling spot, but excited to see what Bobby Wilder decides to do with the staff and this team and kind of how they attack this Wildcats team.
And it's not just the best start Tennessee Tech has been off to in a minute. It's their best start ever. It's the first time in program history they are 10-0. Number 5, Lehigh is at Colgate. I bet Lehigh is going to run the ball a whole lot. They're going to play defense, and they're going to mash another Patriot League opponent. That's my take. Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen, and I'd be surprised if it's anything else.
It's not going to be anything else. I mean, goodness gracious, talk about a scheduling spot here, but this is Lehigh every single week. I talk about these 4-touchdown spreads. Here you go. And DJ Khaled, here's another one. This is just a guillotine special. They have to curb stomp people and continue to do so if they want that number 5 to stay next to their name. They don't have a choice, and I'm pretty sure the locker room knows it the way they come out of the gates every single week.
Pennsylvania is at number 6, Harvard. We have said every week that these Ivy League opponents, some of them can push Harvard a little bit. I believe we really mean it this week. Penn is 5-3 and a pretty good football team, Stone.
I don't know who we is. Harvard had their scare last week. Or not their scare, but they had their sloppy game. It was the worst of the season, and they still got out of there by double digits here. They beat up on Penn. They're at home. This is a Harvard team that we have ranked number 6th in the country, folks. Harvard, 6th in the country. Got to act like it here, but I think these guys are built for it. When the ball's in number one's hands, you feel pretty safe, comfortable, and that you're probably on your way to a victory here. I don't think Penn has much form. I disagree with you completely.
Chattanooga is at number 7, Mercer. Chattanooga made a quarterback change last week, put up 40 points, looked really good on offense. And if you're Mercer, big game last week. But that game last week ain't going to beat Chad on your homecoming. Take care of your business here. Atkinson can sling it. His numbers are comparable to the other guys who were up for the Walter Payton Award, Stone, and he's just a true freshman. He was playing high school football last year. It's amazing what he's done since they've inserted him into the starting lineup for Mercer.
It's actually pretty ridiculous. When you look at that schedule and you see the one, you think back to when it was, and it seems like it was a decade ago. Atkinson is an absolute dude. This Mercer team parlayed with its defense. We say it every single year. We're not just making it up. Watch these guys play. It's 11 hats to a ball. They're about as basic as you can be, but they love their guys. This right here is a sneaky one, though, coming off an emotional win. Can you back it up? Chattanooga, absolutely nothing to lose. Going to give them everything they got to try to spoil a homecoming.
North Alabama is at number 8, Tarleton State. You file this one, Stone, under sometimes it's really bad when your bye week comes. Tarleton State got beat by Abilene Christian and then had to sit there and think about it all last week because they didn't play. Believe they'll be ready to go this week. North Alabama has some pretty good wins for Coach Brent Dierman so far this year. Program seems to be moving in the right direction. The results haven't really been there at times this season, but they look like a better, more talented football team than North Alabama's had recently. Future's bright there. And Tarleton State, you just got to wash that taste out of your mouth from Abilene Christian and go out and do what you did earlier in the season, which is put 50 on people and beat them to sleep and continue to do it. Score and then score again. And then because you liked it so much, the first 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 times, do it again.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't get the visual out of my head of greyhounds before a race, just sitting there tweaking out, just flinching all over the place, ready to start that race and chase that thing. That's what I feel like Tarleton State's been doing. You talked about that extended bye week, which feels like 2 full weeks off. Right. And you're going to come out and you got a team that is inferior to you. You got a team that doesn't have a secondary that can keep up with any of your guys. So this is old school. And what I mean by old school, I mean 2025, week 4, week 5, week 6, Tarleton State that we get this Saturday. I'm excited to see it. They're going to have a big number to try to spread.
Number 9, North Dakota is at Murray State. What have we said like at least 14, 15 times this season? The team's coming off a rough game. And what's the best thing in the world you see when you look down your schedule there is you see, oh, now we're getting to play Murray State, the elixir of life.
Yeah, you're just now, if you're the Fighting Hawks, peeling yourself up off the mat. Your black eye is slowly going down. Your vision becomes clear and you look in front of you and you got a racer standing right there. It is the ultimate elixir. Get your juices flowing, your blood flowing. These guys in the trenches offensively and defensively are excited to get back on that turf, tee up on an inferior foe. That's what you're going to get here. This North Dakota team is probably going to score 50 plus.
Number 11, Monmouth is at North Carolina A&T. This might be a week where you really, really don't need Derek Robertson. Even if he's healthy and he's able to go, you don't put him out there for the whole game because they won't need him. North Carolina A&T is bad. Really bad. And Monmouth should be able to handle them with or without Derek Robertson.
You think Monmouth's making a business decision here? If Derek Robertson or this team, both of them combined, were just a tad worried, we probably would have seen him against a good New Hampshire team, a team that we've given credit to, but you don't have to. They made that business decision. They know North Carolina A&T sits waiting for them, and they know this is a game that they can win regardless. Kevin Marshall, Stone Labanowitz behind center in this one. So the decision was made. You just got to keep coming out of these things clean, not making them so ugly. Last week was kind of a bad sign. It looked bad, can't lie, but you can't do that anymore, and you just got to get on the dance floor here. in a month.
I'd like the chances better with Stone than Kevin in that situation, I might tell you. Stony Brook is at number 12, Villanova. Stony Brook has a dude that runs the ball for them named Roland Dempster, who can be a difference maker in this ball game. Villanova's defense, just come to play. Come to play, sell out against the run, and you ought to continue doing what you've done an awful lot of lately, which is win football games.
That's true. I like Demps, but Villanova also has a back in their backfield that likes to tote that thing and likes to find pay dirt. A bunch of touchdowns on the year. David Abbott, one of our honorary captains of the week. This is a game, Villanova, on your schedule that you're supposed to win. You got to bring your lunch pail to work. I can honestly see this one being a knockout drag out based off of Villanova's result last week and kind of where we are in the season. They're not as healthy as they want to be. They know the playoffs are right around the corner. They're most likely a shoe-in. This is a game that could get tricky if you slip and slide out of the gates in the first quarter.
Indiana State's at number 13, Youngstown State. Are we going to see the Indiana State team that played South Dakota State? Can they do it in the same season? Knock off highly ranked conference opponents. I'm intrigued to find out.
I am as well, but this is just a buzzsaw. He's one of my favorite players in the country to watch, and I had to watch him do it last week against my actual favorite player in the country in DJ Williams here. Bo Brungard's going to run wild on the trees. Youngstown State, they're playing football with a blindfold on. When I say that, I mean, they don't give a damn who is in front of them. They really don't. You saw them absolutely put up the dukes against a North Dakota State squad. You watched them drop a 50-piece on a Southern Illinois squad last year. I know that defense is not all that good, but they're going to do the same exact thing here. This team is built for it. They're good for it. The multiple formations on offense are kind of elite, and so is Bo Brungard.
Number 14, Illinois State is at number 16, South Dakota State. This is a very interesting ball game. South Dakota State, beat up, bruised, but still proud and still tough. And Illinois State has an opportunity to do something that I don't think anybody could have foreseen a month ago. They have a chance to knock South Dakota State out and ruin their season, and maybe they don't make the playoffs. If you are that fella who coaches that football team with the cowboy mustache, this is your shot. This is your time. Let's see if the Redbirds are up to the moment.
This is the game of the year. It is. It truly is. This is triumph on one hand and tragedy on the other. And it could be devastating for this Illinois State squad with a loss. This could be devastating for a South Dakota State team with a loss here. Tommy Rittenhouse, I know, is licking his chops, but here's the difference. South Dakota, the Yotes, they could run the football. Illinois State can't do it as forcefully as the Yotes can, and as forcefully as a bunch of the other schools in the Valley, but Tommy Rittenhouse is the one who's going to have the weight of the world on his shoulders here. He is the one with his finger on the trigger. Can he pull it? That is something that is left to be seen here. I don't have the answer. Am I excited to find out? You're damn right.
Number 15, South Dakota is at number 22, Southern Illinois. I'm ready for this one, bro. Aiden Bauman versus DJ Williams. The Yotes at the Salukis. Winner, playoffs. Loser, maybe not. Probably not. This is a huge game in the Valley. Two ranked teams headed in opposite directions. Let's see if the trend that they've been on lately continues for both.
Yeah, right? You just beat me to it. I was going to talk about teams trending in different directions here, but also, I know the games and the teams they've won and lost to, they're not the same, but it feels like both of these teams have been on the same ride. One was just hot early, and one is now getting hot late here. This is a knock 'em out, drag 'em out. This is a true pick'em. This is a coin flip. This is the most unpredictable game on the entire slate, whatever conference, whatever game, all 129 of them, mix and match. This one right here is the most unpredictable, and for that, I'm so excited here, and I get to watch DJ Williams take on one of our tried and true honorary captains and my favorite quarterback in the entire country, and Aiden Bauman here. So this one is just popcorn. That's all this one is, Kevin. Popcorn. Get it out.
Number 21, Lamar, is at number 19, Stephen F. Austin. Man, these last three games have been doozies, dude. Lamar, hot, hot, hot. And then all of a sudden, not, not, not. And Stephen F. Austin, man, they've been hot in fish grease for a minute. And they're going to play each other this week. And the winner is going to win the Southland Conference. And Lamar, everything was going your way. Bounces were going your way. 57-yard field goals were going your way. And then you were presented with some adversity, and to your credit, you responded to it, Lamar Cardinals. And now Stephen F. Austin, who's done nothing but win all year. And I'm intrigued by this, LeBanowitz. I'm going to tell you. Lumberjacks, Cardinals, at the Lumberjacks, winner, Southland Conference champion. Let's go.
Yeah, this is exactly what you do it for. And I think Stephen F., the team that should be favored, will be favored, and ultimately will win this game. This team is, as funny as this sounds, has been there and been in this position, or at least been playing more meaningful football than Lamar has. Lamar in uncharted territory, also slipping and sliding right now. And when he had said things were going their way, the very first thing that came to my mind was that near 60-yard kick. Things just aren't happening like that for this team right now, and they're scrambling. It seems like it's just slowly slipping away from their fingers. And if that's the case, if that's where you stand, the last team that you want to see, I think, in that conference is the Lumberjacks, who can do it like they do it offensively. So this one has Lamar on red alert.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
Thanks for hanging with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Thanks to good friend of this program and honorary captain of the week, Donovan Woolen, the fine linebacker from North Dakota State, for being our honorary captain of the week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. Now it's time for my favorite time of the week. It's the pick segment. This is where Stone Labanowitz and I butt face masks and we pick the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. Up first, Northern Iowa is at number one, North Dakota State.
Give me the Bison 38-17 here, Kevin.
Not a whole lot to see here. Bison will roll over UNI. Take the Bison at home 38-10. Number two, Montana is at Portland State.
Montana lot to a little here. Grizzlies 49, Vikings 16.
All Grizz all day. Offense has a field day, and Iat going to put up some crooked numbers here. The Grizz will win over Portland State 42-14. Number 10, UC Davis is at number 3, Montana State.
I think a lot of people, us included, are going to waste their breath talking about this. This is a sneaky one, and you're going to do it right as I give a score prediction, but I don't think it's all that sneaky here. Give me Montana State 30 to UC Davis is 14.
Injuries are piling up for UC Davis, and this Bobcats team is really hitting its stride, y'all. The defense has been really solid, and the offense, pretty dynamic. All of that continues here. Take number 3, Montana State over number 10, UC Davis, 31-20. Number 4, Tennessee Tech is at Kentucky of the FBS.
Kentucky 45, Tennessee Tech 21. Tennessee Tech will score some touchdowns here, but things will get out of hand. It'll be a turnover, maybe a special team score that kind of puts this thing out of reach for Kentucky.
Tennessee Tech's going to give Kentucky some problems for a while in this one, way longer than Kentucky fans are going to be comfortable with, but Kentucky will win the football game over number 4, Tennessee Tech, 41-17. Number 5, Lehigh's at Colgate.
Hey, just go look at their score lines the past 2-3 weeks. It's going to be very similar. Give me Lehigh, 42, to Colgate's, 10.
Lehigh runs the football so well, it's a clinic every week. Every single week, a running game clinic. They'll brush away Colgate easily here in this one. Take number 5, Lehigh on the road over Colgate, 38-10. Pennsylvania is at number 6, Harvard.
Harvard, I like Harvard here. Give me Harvard, the Crimson, 28 to Penn's 17.
This one's interesting to me. The Quakers are 5-3, Harvard's undefeated and plays pretty good defense. So what are you thinking, Kev? It's going to be a really close and really good game, perhaps, but Harvard has Jaden Craig at quarterback and he'll make all the difference. Take number 6, Harvard over Pennsylvania 38-17. Chattanooga is at number 7, Mercer.
I think the trend continues, and the trend that I'm talking about is points scored in this one, but ultimately, I think the surging team thrives here. Give me the Mercer Bears, 38. The Chattanooga's, 28.
Chattanooga installed a new quarterback last week. His name is Battle Alberson, and he certainly lived up to his first name in leading the Mocs to 45 points. This one is live, y'all. As Stone says, this one is live. Mercer beat Western Carolina last week, but it don't mean a pinch of aisle dung if they don't back it up here. I believe they will. Take number 7, Mercer over Chattanooga. And a close one, though, 31-27, the way of the Bears. North Alabama is at number 8, Tarleton State.
I just don't think this one's close. I think this is wire to wire. And that right there is saying nothing wise, but a scoreline may not be. Tarleton State 52 to UNA's 13.
Tarleton State had a bye week after the very disappointing loss to Abilene Christian. And you know they didn't have a pleasant bye week, and I expect them to take it out on UNA here. Take number 18, Tarleton State, to get their stuff back in a pile this week. Texans win 41-10. Number 9, North Dakota is at Murray State.
How about this? Getting pretty close to you here. 48-10 the way of the Fighting Hawks.
Yet again, Murray State will be just the elixir. A team that is coming off a tough loss or a tough ball game will need. It'll be all Fighting Hawks here. Number 9, North Dakota wins on the road over Murray State 35-10. Number 11, Monmouth is at North Carolina A&T.
I like Monmouth here, and kind of what is a snoozer? Give me Monmouth 30 to A&T's 17.
Does not matter who plays quarterback for Monmouth. A&T is awful. Number 11, Monmouth wins 35-7. Stony Brook is at number 12, Villanova.
This will be a fun one. Probably like an 8-9 round bout here in the ring. Give me Villanova 28 to Stony Brook's 20.
Take number 12, Villanova at home over Stony Brook 34-17. Number 14, Illinois State is at number 16, South Dakota State.
I think South Dakota State, and I thought early in that game, and we both predicted South Dakota State was going to beat the Yotes regardless of if Chase Mason was in the lineup or not. We got proved wrong, but not quite sure this Illinois State team is as good as this Yotes team, regardless of results, right? Talk about what you want. I don't care. So I think South Dakota State can put the same game plan intact, play the same game, and beat this Illinois State team. You just got to do it. You got to duplicate that effort. You played okay last weekend. So I'm going South Dakota State here, 28 to Illinois State's 23.
I disagree, sir. And the reason why is that nobody circles the wagons like that fellow with the cowboy mustache. Take number 14, Illinois State over number 16, South Dakota State. Redbirds win 21-20. Number 15, South Dakota is at number 22, Southern Illinois.
I don't even want to predict this game. I truly don't. But Youngstown State in Southern Illinois, the play there was the over. I think the play here is the over again. I think there are a lot of points in this one. I think there are a lot of short drives. But I'm picking the Salukis. I'm doing it. Give me the Saluki Dogs 38-30 on top of the Yotes. I think just a little too much offense, a little too much firepower. Hill will be in his bag of tricks. This is your Super Bowl with how the season is going right now. You're telling your team, if we lose this game, we're out. If we win this thing, we're going. That's what you at least tell them, regardless of if it's true or not. I think this team comes out and plays some of the best football they've played all season. And this South Dakota team is playing the best ball that they've been playing all season. So this one's going to be tight. But Southern Illinois with a touchdown and a two-point conversion to go with it late in this thing. 38-30, Nick Hill gets in his bag, baby.
Come on, LeBanna, which you know you want to say it. What is your favorite phrase?
Explosive skill players. Wait, what is it?
Explosive plays, man.
Explosive plays.
Southern Illinois is going to make a few, bro. But so is South Dakota, and I think South Dakota makes one more. Give me number 15, South Dakota, winning over number 22, Southern Illinois, 31-27. Number 21, Lamar, is at number 19, Stephen F. Austin.
How about a wire-to-wire victory here for these Lumberjacks? I can feel it. I can see it coming. Give me SFA here, 35 to Lamar's 21.
Our boy Dustin Helton's going to be really happy. The Rev, SFA, going to be very happy with the outcome of this one, because I think this one is going to be all Lumberjacks. Give me number 19, Stephen F. Austin, at home over number 21, Lamar. Wire to wire, Lumberjacks, cut them down. Jacks win 27-19.
As he tucks it, now chucks it, and that's going to be picked off. Racing the other way is Woolen, and he's going to get into the end zone. So Woolen has put his stamp on this game. A couple big tackles, and there an interception return for a touchdown.
Welcome back. Back this time better than ever. This is my favorite time of the week, guys. It's the honorary captain of the week segment. And, of course, Donovan Woolen, North Dakota State linebacker. He's not just riding solo. Alongside him, Noah Sanders, financial advisor and college unit director up there in that Fargo office. Mr. Noah, I will start with you. First time joining the show, but forever an FOS, a friend of the show. Thank you so much for taking time out of your week to hop on, chop it up with FCS Nation, and kind of help pump and get Donovan Woolen's voice out there and heard by Bison Nation. Appreciate you.
For sure. No problem.
And Donovan, to you as well. Busy schedule. We often talk about this all the time. College athletes, it's a full-time job. Athletics, especially as we get into this new era of college athletics, you guys are required to do a lot more. There's a lot more asked of you. So taking time out of your week to hop it on and chop up with FCS Nation, I appreciate you. I cannot thank you enough.
Yep, thank you for having me.
Of course. Okay, Donovan, your first time being an honorary captain here. Noah, your very first time on the show. Donovan, when you were approached with this, and I'll get into how unique and cool that I think what we're doing is, but your initial feelings and thoughts when you were first approached when this was broken down to you? How quickly did you say yes? Kind of take us through the run of show for you when you were asked to kind of represent an entire university, if not the greatest in the subdivision that it has ever seen. What was your kind of initial feelings?
Initially, I was like, yeah, I mean, this is an awesome thing to raise awareness to. Noah called me and I said yes immediately. I know this is something I would love to do, love to get people to raise awareness, raise money for it. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Noah, what was it about Donovan? I often ask anybody we have on the show, whether they are college unit directors, financial advisors, managing directors, managing partners, directors of recruitment. I asked them kind of, what was it that made you choose your athlete? So for your sake, Noah, what was it about Donovan that stood out and that made him, I already said this, but a great representative of such a prestigious, I guess I'll call it, university like North Dakota State?
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty easy decision, I guess, when we talked to Coach Polasek, is kind of who we went to, like, who do you think would be good for this role? Because, I mean, your mind immediately goes to Bryce Lance, who is awesome, and Cole Payton, who's awesome. And when we talked to Coach Polasek, the first name off his tongue was, you got to get connected with Donovan.
Love it.
So that's kind of who we went to directly. And I can second exactly, that is exactly how the phone call went. I call him, he's like, yep, sounds good. What do you need? So obviously a great, I want to say kid, but we're close enough in age where I can't refer to him as kid. Great enough dude to kind of take this up.
Yeah, just a couple of dudes talking shop here. Again, just resetting Noah Sanders, college unit director up in the Fargo office, and Donovan Woolen, a linebacker for the stingiest defense that you'll probably lay eyes on in all of the subdivision. Before we get into a little bit of football talk here, Donovan, I kind of hinted a second ago at how weird college football is and the state and the era that you didn't choose to be a part of, but you are a part of. And you have friends who play football in the FBS. You have friends who play at some of these bigger schools where when you hear NIL, I think the average person gets scared, or the other average person kind of rolls their eyes, right? Because we know what it entails. We've seen the ugly side of it, but this is quite the opposite. And I think FCS football is quite the opposite of the FCS. It's still in its purest form. We have not managed to wreck it whatsoever. And I think us here at FCS Nation, Northwestern Mutual, Alex Lemonade Stand, we're trying to keep it together. And there's nothing that exists like this in the entire landscape of the FCS. So to you, was this something that you saw as different as well in the NIL partnership space? Is this something unique that you haven't seen? Do you agree with all of those thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. I kind of saw it as not really the NIL part, but really as raising awareness to Alex Lemonade. And that's really how I saw it, you know, raise money for this, you know, help this out.
It's really cool. And I appreciate that perspective. And I think, I don't know how many honorary captains we've had on this season. It's definitely double digits up to this point, but none of you guys have missed that. And it's not like I teed you up for a softball question there. It's authentic. It's true. It's actually how you're feeling. It's like, oh, cool. Right. I'm going to make a little bit of money. Cool. That's not the point, right? Yeah. Because Northwestern Mutual and Alex Lemonade Stand, just the millions of dollars that have been raised through their partnership. The fact that now you get to be kind of a megaphone for that at the top school in all of the country. It's not NIL at all. It is raising awareness. You hit the nail on the head right there. Noah, kind of how do you see it? You're somebody who can't say necessarily is in charge of Donovan, and I definitely won't, because you guys talked about how close you were in age. But there are things that, you know, you're asking of Donovan that you want him to do. There are things that you want him to say to get out there. None of it, you know, you're not forcing his hand or anything. You know that he's the right fit. And I use the word megaphone, but he's just a good representative and a good face for this thing for all the right reasons, obviously, that Tim Polasek has already voiced to you. But do you see it in the same way, that this is just an entirely separate thing from what most college football fans are seeing now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because when it comes to the what the athlete or what Donovan is making from it, is they can make the amount of money that essentially we're paying them in NIL and in another deal of less time commitment or whatever it might be. They're giving us, and Donovan's giving us, more of his time than he needs to or has to. Through posts, or whether it's doing a podcast or whatever it might be, that if he sought it out to go make the money, he can go get more money in a different cause or whatever it might be if he wanted to. But that's where I think who he is as a person gives us that upside of the image that he's created, and then obviously the awareness that it brings to Alex's Lemonade Stand as well.
Yeah, speaking a little to Alex's Lemonade Stand, I always try to give the context and the backstory, because it's not like the same people are listening to our honorary captains. A lot of Bison fans are tuning into the show for the first time, or tuning into the Honorary Captain of the Week segment, kind of waiting for Donovan to learn about who he is kind of underneath that bucket here. Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation began with a single front yard stand, started by
a four-year-old at the time, Miss Alex Scott. I call her the queen. She was battling neuroblastoma. She wanted to raise money for doctors to help other kids like her. First of all, I can't fathom a thought process like that at age four. It's jarring to hear, but it's also heartwarming. Alex passed away at age eight, and when she done so, she had raised almost $1 million. And today, that legacy lives on. She, because of what she felt, what she wanted to do, her parents, Jay and Liz, kind of carried this thing on. And you're looking at numbers that they've raised. It's nearing, it's inching towards that $300+ million, you know, 1,000+ hours of research, all of these things. That is why we're here right now. That is why a linebacker for the North Dakota State Bison, the number one team in the country, he is preaching her message, and Noah is helping him do that. And there are plenty of ways to get involved, guys, but I just wanted to give a little bit of historical context and then historical context for us. Noah, I talked about this being your first time on the show. Donovan, this being your first time with us, but this is season three for us here. We've had other Bison on. We've had managing partners and directors, but you two are with us for the long run here. But in year one, we raised just under $50,000 last year, just about $70,000. And guys, as we sit and we speak right now, already $50,000 raised. So I think we're going to crush both of those numbers. Noah, talk a little bit about the relationship between Alex's and Northwestern Mutual. Some of the things that, since you've been along for the ride, that they've accomplished, some things that you've heard about. Again, just to kind of further give Bison fans context of the partnership that you guys have with Alex's.
Yeah, I think Northwestern Mutual has had a longstanding relationship with Alex's lemonade stand, whether it's raising money through things like this, or we've done golf tournaments at Sweet Shots that have provided dollars for them, trying to provide as much as we can. Northwestern Mutual has provided over $50 million to Alex's lemonade stand and continues to do that through whatever we can to create dollars for them. And if honestly, if it's, you can't donate to this cause out of your own pocket, because we understand that that isn't for everybody. Not everybody has some of those excess dollars. There's simple things that you can do, like the Lemon Top Challenge, where if you hashtag Lemon Top Challenge, tag Donovan, tag Northwestern Mutual, tag Alex's Lemonade Stand, and hashtag Go Bison, Northwestern Mutual will actually make a donation for you to this very cause. So ton of different opportunities to get involved, whether it's out of your pockets or Northwestern Mutual's pockets, but hope we can continue to breed and grow this relationship that we have with Alex's lemonade stand.
I love it. And kind of piggybacking off of that and passing you the rock here, Donovan, there was a quote that was dropped on an interview that I did, I believe, with Aiden Bowman, the signal caller for South Dakota, and Chris Schenkel, a managing director up there as well. And Chris at the time just dropped an absolute bar, and I've held on to it ever since. He talked about watching fandom turn into real impact. Mm-hmm. And when I think of a team in a fan base that not only scares the life into people, but also is, you know, the most boisterous, probably the most heavily invested, right? I could go down the laundry list of things that, you know, Bison Nation represents and kind of what they stand for. But when you hear the quote, watching fandom turn into real impact, and you think about your fans, how big is this to them, or how big could it be to them if they really sunk their teeth in and got behind you?
I think it's very big. A lot of people's lives are affected by stuff like this. And I feel a small donation, even if it's $10, you know, $5, it helps a lot. Mm-hmm. To a lot of people in need. And you know, like Noah said, the lemon drop challenge, just taking a photo, and Northwestern adding money can help a lot of people that are in need and that need different types of money to help them.
Yeah, and just talk about that fan base kind of plainly, you know, how impressive it, you're a younger guy on the roster, how impressive has it been to kind of see their impact, how good they travel, and what it's like, obviously, when the lights go out at home? It's the toughest place to play in the country, man.
Yeah, definitely playing in the dome is a hard place to play as an away team. Talk about traveling, like the Tennessee State game, it felt like a home game to us. There was, I don't know how many Bison fans were there. It was really special, you know, to play defense at an away stadium, and our own fans are louder than their fans. You know, it's very special to play.
Yeah, it's a really cool example. And you're talking about Tennessee, right? Tennessee and North Dakota, not very close to each other. So the fact that that felt like a home game kind of just speaks volumes to the power that I think Bison Nation possesses. And that's kind of what we're trying to hint at here. If you guys can get behind Donovan in this, take it to the next level. We've had winners from South Dakota. We've had winners from South Dakota State. signal callers, whoever it's been, other positions. We had a tandem with the Jackrabbits that got up there and raised a heck of a lot of money. So just getting behind Donovan here is important, I think, for Bison Nation here and kind of furthering on that conversation. Sometimes when I'm talking about football with some of the honorary captains, I said, well, you know, you guys are competing. You're 5-4 on the season. You know, well, it's been a tough patch early on. You know, you're 3-6. You know, what's it going to take to turn around? Well, I mean, we're unblemished here, okay, Donovan? I mean, you guys, I don't know if you ever are going to lose a football game, but had your first scare last week. I guess we could call it a scare, a 15-10 victory on the road. A tough place to play, to be quite frank with you. The Alaris Center, kind of take us through last week's game, the roller coaster that it was. I think it is the game that most people want to hear about. More detailed because it has been the closest one. Talk about that Fighting Hawks game last week.
It definitely was a roller coaster game, you know, going into someone's home turf, you know, expecting a loud environment, expecting a tough physical game. We knew that coming in, and we knew it was going to take everything we had to win that game. You know, defense really stepped up, you know, helping out the offense at any chance of the game, help them get back on their feet, you know, getting the ball in good position for them. But I mean, we really just had to stay focused on our goals, you know, being the most physical team on the field, and ultimately, you know, it helped us win that game.
Is there something that ever gets spoken about? And when I say spoken about, I mean out loud, that you are every guy's, that you guys are every team's Super Bowl. I mean, I can sit here and say it. I think to a degree you've heard it, but is it often spoken about that, hey, you know, regardless, we cannot just, you know, get roll out of bed, toss the jersey on and you know, win by, you know, three scores. Is there something that you guys tell yourself? I've always wondered this, even somebody who's played you guys, mm-hmm. have gotten curb stomped by you guys and also beat you guys, that you were legitimately everybody's Super Bowl. Is there something that you guys talk about in that regard?
Definitely it's mentioned at the beginning of the season. You know, every team is gonna give us their best, and everybody on our team knows that going into every game, we're going to get everybody's best. We're going to get everybody's entire playbook as a defense. They're not going to leave something on the field.
For sure.
So, yeah, I mean, everybody knows that. We know we got to go 1-0 each week, stay focused. Don't let outside distractions, you know, distract us from our ultimate goal.
You guys are 10-0. I already mentioned that. I think it's cool how you guys rock and roll through a season. It kind of just, you know, we try to do this fun song and dance at the very beginning. You know, are they going to be, you know, for this year it was, hey, what's Cole Payton going to be? Well, didn't take long for that to get answered and you guys to get going like that. Something I often ask, and when I interview quarterbacks here, I ask them this because they're in leadership positions. But based off of what Noah's told me about you, this is a question that you'd easily be able to answer. When you're home on Christmas break, summer break, and you come back, you usually have fresh kits, right? Fresh shirts, shoes, socks, shirts that have something taped across the front or the back, something that maybe the coaching staff and strength staff got together and said, hey, we want to run with this year. This is something that we want to say. Is there a motto or a quote, a run line that the Bison are running with that the public really hasn't heard, but could be kind of a backstory as to why you guys are dominating that way?
Something the public hasn't heard. I believe they probably have heard this from Coach P, but, you know, being the most physical team in the country. We're not going to leave anything on the field. You know, we're going to give it our best every single game, every single snap. Doing your 1/11th, you know, doing your role, trusting your brothers their role, and you know, if everybody does their 1/11th, we will win the game.
Noah, how cool has it been for you, former player, Bison alum, to just have a relationship with somebody who's currently in the locker room and just make you a little more tapped in, right? You have a little more access as to the current pulse of the team. I think it's every alumni's dream, right? To just still be tapped in, still know what's going on as coaches come and go and there are new schemes and new systems put in place. So for you to be alum and a former player and have a relationship with somebody like Donovan, who when you ask the head coach of the 10-0 football team, the number one in the country, hey, I need somebody, you know, good face, good kid, good grit. And he's like, Donovan Woolen. How cool has it been that Donovan's kind of helped give you some of that access that as alumni we all want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's cool to have that relationship. And I think being so close to the program and like Polisek recruited me, I unfortunately never got the opportunity to play for him because he took off for and took a job at Iowa as I was coming in and was able to have that relationship. And I think that's where it gets really cool because there's a multitude of relationships that get developed. I mean, having the relationship with Donovan, I have probably a future in-law in some capacity on the coaching staff as well. My brother-in-law is dating Devin Kleiman's sister. And it's like, so there's a relationship with the Kleiman family still. And then I have actually a client on the team too. So it's like you have a lot of cool relationships that evolve, and having that inside scoop is really unique because you get a multitude of perspectives, whether it's from a coaching staff or a player's perspective, offense, defense, whatever it might be. So it's been fun to get to know Donovan as well.
Yeah, and we as quarterbacks know we watch this game through different lenses, right? With different we've talked about perspective and stuff. You've seen this team go 10-0, not really be tested by anybody yet, and that speaks more to North Dakota State than it is who they play, right? Playing in the Missouri Valley. How would you grade the season so far? Let's act as if Donovan can't hear us right now, and it's not like the grade's going to be bad. I mean, we're talking about an undefeated team, 7-0 in the conference, but just from top to bottom, kind of you viewing it now, we jump into having a client on the team. You got Donovan on the team. You kind of watch a game differently. We already do as quarterbacks, but you know, how would you grade it out so far?
I mean, it's as impressive of a team as I think we've had in a while. I mean, it goes without saying, my wife and I booked our Nashville flight for the national championship after I think week three. So not just not knock on wood, obviously, but like I and the alumni, I think, would agree. Like, we're in group chats, and I mean, I work with former players and things like that. And the conversation in the tailgate lot and around town is this is one of the more impressive teams since we've had since the run back in 16, 17, 18, 19, whatever it was. Like, this team is really freaking good, and it's fun to watch. And that legit buzz and energy is back in the dome. It's back in the tailgate lot, and I think there's a lot of high expectations of what this is going to continue to be.
A few things there. It's back, right? I mean, okay. I can't even fathom how you guys are able to speak like that. You're like, it's back. You guys, what's back? I mean, we were just in Frisco in January. What's back? What left? You know? So that's hysterical how you guys speak along those terms. But on a more serious note, Donovan, to hear somebody like Noah, who knows more than 98% of people who are listening, you know, what it's like in that program, who is who, how it operates. How do you go about it personally? And also, what are some of the things that you hear from Coach Tim P in regards to blocking all of that out, right? Because in face value, you have somebody saying, you know, they're expecting you to be in Nashville come January. It's a burden. I'm sure that's something that the staff is tasked with kind of keeping out of your guys' mouth. How do you go about that?
I mean, first off, I wanted to say we appreciate every fan that shows up to every game. You know, it means a lot to everyone on the team. And but as far as blocking that noise out, you know, we like to stay focused at going 1-0 each week, and you know, staying off social media, you know, because you know, people will love you whenever you're doing good, but they'll also hate you when you're doing bad. So, you know, just focusing on yourself, focusing on getting better, focusing on helping the team get better, is the main focus that Coach P installs every day with us.
And Northern Iowa on deck. You're inviting them into the place that just now got that buzz back in the Fargo Dome and whatnot. You know, what's that tape look like? How excited are you guys to beat up on them?
You know, we're very excited. Going into another week, you know, another faceless opponent. You know, we got to come out, play our best game, give them our best game because we're expecting their best game against us. And yeah.
1-0 for you guys means 11-0 for the Bison. Good luck the rest of the way, Donovan. Seriously, I'm super excited to watch you go to work. I've loved watching you go to work. I love the one-handed INT, all the things that you do. You stick out like a sore thumb out there. You are the new era of linebackers that I think started top down in the NFL, longer, lankier. You have a bright future ahead of you, and you're very young and already somebody that is being pointed out to by the head coach. So keep doing you on the football field, sir, and make sure that you handle your business off the field here. Noah, kind of passing you the rock now. Talked about football, how involved you are when it comes to being inside of that facility, but campus is something that I know you want to increase your footprint, especially on behalf of Northwestern Mutual. What are some ways that you plan on going about that? And also, kind of, why is it important to you to do that?
Yeah, it's really important, and I think this is hard being this is an NDSU podcast, but I got to give the Rabbits and what they're doing at SDSU and USD a lot of credit in the South Dakota area with the impact that they have on campus. And obviously, our managing partner, Derek Dinger, was in the South Dakota office for the longest time and trying to instill a lot of that into us. And where does that come from? That comes from a footprint on campus. So what we're trying to do is, I mean, whether that's an etiquette dinner or providing meals for different athletic programs or getting more involved with the sales school at NDSU and getting to being intentional with career fairs that we're at and who we're getting introduced to. So the more involved that we can get with professors and the coaches, which we do have a pretty good relationship with, the better off we're going to be. And really what we're trying to do is create a really positive light as to what Northwestern Mutual represents. And any, whether it's college kid, whether they intern with us or use us as a resource, walks away and says, that was a really freaking fun experience that I got to have. And that's kind of the perception that we're trying to develop with the whole Northwestern Mutual and Fargo, whether it's Grand Forks, Bismarck, our kind of whole network. So.
That's poetic right there. Awesome stuff. A lot of good answers in there. And one of the ones that you did throw out there was the internship program. One of the coolest stats that I hear each and every week, and if somebody, forgets to bring it up, I make sure that I do, is that 1 in 5 advisors in the entirety of Northwestern Mutual are former athletes, some of them former collegiate athletes. So that's big, and I could sit here and ask you kind of what it is about that, but I think after hearing Donovan talk, hearing the long list of honorary captains that we've had, it makes sense, right? The drive, the schedule, the discipline, all of these things. But talk about how important the internship program is to you. It's just constantly rated that gold tier category. You guys win award after award after award. What is it that stands out about Northwestern Mutual's internship program for Bison parents who are listening, who have high school age kids up and coming, and also kids who attend North Dakota State who are kind of looking for life after school, and for the parents who have athletes, life after football kind of realm. Talk to them about why NM is probably the best look that they'll have.
Yeah, I think anyone who's started or ran a business understands it's one of the hardest things in the world to start. And whether that's as an intern or as a full-time advisor, that's the what you get the opportunity to do and see through is the legit opportunity to start a business with no overhead or anything like that. And then you get a really genuine connection and poured into-ness, if that's a word, from other professionals around you. When you get that opportunity, a lot of internships turn into the paper pusher or the filer or whatever it might be. Any intern that gets to come into our office lives out the same day-to-day life that I have, that other advisors in our office have, with the opportunity to learn from a multitude of very experienced and intelligent individuals, and then get the opportunity to take a bus to a Twins game or come to Milwaukee with us for our annual meeting in July. And like they're not discluded from the office quarterly events, award ceremonies, things like that. They're engulfed in the culture that we're trying to create, and kind of get all those unique opportunities that any full-time advisor would as well.
I think the culture aspect is huge here. It is tried and true for Northwestern Mutual. It's also tried and true for North Dakota State. So match made in heaven. And like I said, shout out to all those parents and even classmates of yours, Donovan, who are listening right now, who are fans of you, fans of the team, who are like, shoot, I will be out of college here in 2 years. Like maybe I needed to take that seriously. Depending on what your major is, even if it's not in the financial services, right? You talked about the sales school. Even if you're not in the sales school at North Dakota State, there are things that you can learn, things you can take away. Plenty of people that I've interviewed weren't in the sales school, weren't, finance majors and whatnot, and they've still found a way to carve out their own business practice at Northwestern Mutual. So it's one of the best in the business here. Guys, this is the call to action portion. This is the fun part of everything besides talking football, besides learning about who Donovan is behind that face mask. And that's calling out Bison Nation to donate, to pledge, to ultimately help us raise awareness. FCSNationRadio.com on the right-hand side of the screen. You see Axe Lemonade Stand. Click on it. It's got its own wing of the website dedicated to it. You can click donate, pledge, check the standings. We're inching towards that $50,000 mark right now, Donovan. Not necessarily lagging behind, but behind some of the guys who are raising up there in that $10,000 mark. So kind of call out Bison Nation as to why they need to get off their horse, get going on all this, and kind of back you, everybody in that Fargo office up there, and Noah, Donovan, call out Bison fans.
I would say this is another special moment to show why NDSU is the best. I will call out everyone to donate what they can or do what they can to help raise awareness and show why NDSU is on top.
Yeah, and like Noah shouted out, I'll do it once more, the Lemon Top Challenge, guys. It's super easy and fun. Also, I've been to a few events now and everybody loves doing it. And we got to make sure that you post these things and get them in feed. But you take a lemon, you're going to balance it on your head. Harder for me, I have a bald head, but if you got hair, it's easy to put that lemon on your head. You post it to whatever platform you want, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Instagram, whatever you got. TikTok also works. Hashtag go Bison. Make sure you're tagging Northwestern Mutual at NM underscore financial at Alex's Lemonade. That is their foundation's handle. $10 is matched from Northwestern Mutual. So it's a sneaky way to get Donovan up and going here. And Donovan, I'm sure you'll get your guys in the locker room and on the field, making sure they're posting the lemon tops. We've seen that go around. So that's super fun stuff. I literally cannot thank you enough, Donovan, seriously, with how jam-packed your guys' schedule are. You guys are just laser-focused, dialed in, looking to go 1-0 next week, which, like I said, is 11-0 in totality. Good luck the rest of the way. I'll be watching you. All of FCS Nation will be watching you. Kicking butt.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Noah, taking time out of your schedule to chop it up and kind of give Bison fans a peeled back layer as to who Donovan is, what makes him kind of the guy that Tim Polasek pointed to, right? And obviously you see that leadership take place on the defense. Thank you so much for taking time and chopping it up with FCS Nation.
For sure. Thanks for having me on.
That brings us to the end of another episode of FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. FCS Nation is co-hosted and produced by Mr. Stone Labanowitz. I'm executive producer and host Kevin Marshall, thanking you for making FCS Nation a small part of your football week. And like I always do, y'all, I'd like to remind you that life's a lot like football. You play by the rules and the penalties won't kill you. Until next week, so long, everybody.